I was living so large.
I was in middle management for IBM.
He's like, why would I ruin that? You know what ruined that? Jennifer going missing.
The thing is, if what he was saying to Andrea was true, then it would be true. But what he said, I had a wife, I had a girlfriend, and kids I loved. What you had was a girlfriend who didn't want you anymore, a wife who was about to leave you, and kids you were going to lose in the divorce. Jillian Benzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Girl, what are we talking about today?
All right, this is out of control.
Oh my God.
This is a Dateline episode. It's called The Perfect Life. This is season 32, episode 27.
The man, he's happy as a pig in mud. What would make him kill someone?
Did your dad say anything to you like, I didn't do this?
Yes, he did, and I believe him.
He's a master manipulator.
How certain were you that Remy Ramsaran killed his wife?
No doubt in my mind.
We discovered that under Jennifer Ramsaran's fingernails was male DNA.
The DNA underneath my wife's fingernails. It's not mine.
Before we get to the episode,
yeah,
for our viewers out there, I am wearing two Hello Kitty Band-Aids on my wrist.
Yeah.
I am totally fine. Here's what happened. I realized it looks a little... I'm okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about me.
No, tell them what you did.
What happened was I burnt my wrist.
Yeah.
My curling iron flew out of my hands.
Yes.
I was doing a little like above bat and it just... I let it drop on the floor,
you
but
gotta.
It got me.
Falling knives and curling irons. You just let them fall.
Right. And so immediately it hurt.
Oh.
I could see it kind of raise under the Band-Aid, but the first thing I did was I put Vaseline on it, and then I got my two Hello Kitty Band-Aids because I don't have a Band-Aid big enough, so
this
is what I have, and I haven't looked under it since. I can see the red light, the burn peeking out, but in case you see this, please don't worry. I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
Well, you know who's not fine? Andrea Canning. She's coming in so hot right at the top of this thing. Hot like a curling iron, she says.
I mean, Lester Holt starts out by saying, this is an ending we'll never see coming, and that's saying something.
That is
coming
really...
from Lester Holt on Dateline in season 32.
This is one of those they've been covering for 10 years.
Yeah.
So she says at the top,
at Dateline, we meet a lot of big talkers. But few as big as Remy Ramsaran. He had lots to say about his happy life in his tiny upstate New York town.
This guy is a total blowhard
dweeb,
a Herb through and through.
He puts his hand in Andrea Canning's face like he's Clay Aiken with Kelly Ripa. Remember that?
No.
Oh my God, we don't have time
for
it.
He put his hand in her face?
No, I'll save it for an
tell
after party.
Later.
I'll tell the whole story. Because
it
created a whole scandal because Rosie talked about it on The View, called Kelly Ripa homophobic because she said, I don't know where that hand has been. And then Kelly had to call into The View to be like, I'm not homophobic. Meanwhile, Clay Aiken was like, I wasn't out of the closet at the time and only Rosie knew. Like, it's a whole thing.
Okay.
I know.
We don't have time.
We literally don't have time.
But I love Andrea Canning in this episode so much because she rarely shows her hand right at the top.
Yeah.
You can immediately tell that she hates this guy because she's like, I've had to put up with a lot of insufferable pieces of shit.
Yep.
This guy is top three.
Yes. She's so close to being like, I don't give a sweet flying fuck.
You know what I mean?
She's very close. In the end, Andrea is screaming at this guy.
As she should be.
Absolutely.
Because I was screaming.
She can't believe it.
And just like you said, so this is an update from an episode that aired in 2014. If you want to watch that, I don't recommend spending any more time with this Herb than you have to.
You get, because we go back and get all of it like here.
Yeah, it's season 23, episode 7, Secret Lives.
Well, we go back to a cold winter night, December 11th, 2012. Mm. Remy calls 911 because his wife had left that morning, he says, between 10 and 11. She hasn't been back and I'm really freaked out. He's called all the friends. He's called the parents. Nobody's heard from her.
You know who he sounds like? He sounds like, this is a deep cut, Juliette Lewis in Old School when she's caught cheating.
What is she saying?
And one of the Wilsons come home and she's fake crying and she's smoking a cigarette. And she's like, I'm really sorry. But like, she's not sorry at all.
I'm very concerned. My wife has not come home. Yeah. Like, he does not sound concerned.
No, he's not concerned. Well, his wife is Jennifer.
Yes. Their middle son is Glenn. He was 10 years old at the time. He tells us he saw his mom for breakfast that morning. Then the dad drove the kids to school. And then the dad got back around 8 a.m. This is Remy. He says,
when I came home, Jen was eating Chobani yogurt and Kashi cereal at the table, and she was on her iPod Touch. And then I went to the living room, and I sent some emails and certain things to that effect.
Kashi cereal at the table. She had her iPod Touch. Too many details.
Too many details.
So the husband, yeah, goes into the living room. He's a project manager. Who gives a shit? But I do have to say, if you're a project manager for IBM and you're not this guy, great. But
wonderful.
Fuck him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he says that he works from home in most days. In 2012, that was a sweet ass gig.
No one
was working from home.
And he was making money. Like they've got a beautiful house. She's a stay at home mom.
Yeah. If someone works from home, you'd be like, whoa, really?
I know.
How did you switch
that?
It
was like the dream.
Now it's like, if someone has to go to work once every 2 weeks, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I know. Well, we are told that morning, Jen was going to go to the mall in Syracuse, which they live in upstate New York. She was going to go to the mall in Syracuse, about 60 miles away. She was going to get like a new Christmas dress for their daughter.
Yeah.
And so like at 5 o'clock, she's not home. It's dark out. She, like me, does not like to drive after dark. These old owls aren't working as well as they used to.
Also, the mall is an hour away and it's through long, winding back roads. And I'm like, there's no easier way.
Let me say this. I grew up on Cape Cod where we had the Cape Cod Mall, but about an hour away was the Kingston Mall, which was the way better mall with all the good stores. I understood this. Like, I'm gonna go to the mall with the good stores, even if you gotta drive through the treacherous back roads.
But there's no other way from the treacherous in upstate New York to get to Syracuse. There's no like...
Maybe. Who knows? Talk to us.
It just feels a little like... Huh.
I can see that. Have you ever gotten in your car and driven 60 miles?
I don't have time.
Girl, Talkiatry is a new sponsor. Look, when your mental health is suffering, therapy can definitely help. Lord knows I know. But sometimes it's not the whole answer.
Yeah, Talkiatry gives you access to real psychiatric care with licensed clinicians who can diagnose and prescribe medication if it's right for you. It's a simple way to get effective treatment right from your home.
So fam, Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatry practice that provides comprehensive evaluations, diagnoses, and ongoing medication treatment for conditions like ADHD, anxiety, depression, and more.
Yeah, like bipolar, OCD, PTSD, postpartum depression.
Yeah, and we want to be super clear. Unlike therapy-only platforms, Talkiatry is psychiatry. You're seeing a medical provider who can diagnose mental health conditions and prescribe medication when it's appropriate. Like, from your computer, girl.
That's a big difference. Sometimes people don't know that, but that's a very, very important difference.
Truly. Fam, all 800-plus clinicians are in-network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly subscriptions or out-of-network costs. I can't say it enough. From your computer. You don't have leave your house.
Yeah, and you can start in like minutes.
Yeah.
You just complete a short online assessment, get matched with clinicians who fit your needs, and schedule your first visit in days, not months.
Yeah. So head to talkiatry.com/TCO to complete the short assessment and get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes.
That's talkiatry.com/TCO to get matched in minutes.
Talkiatry.com/TCO.
Talk it out, you know?
Fam, before we come back to the episode, just a reminder, what are we telling them about this week?
We have a YouTube channel.
Almost 700,000 subscribers. It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
I preview the videos every week to sort of like watch them and just make sure they're ready to go. They are so good. They are so fun. All of the ones that you like, you know that you should be watching rather than listening to, like Maternal Instinct. Like, you know you're going to want to watch that one. Just go check it out. It's so much fun. What's the other thing?
Patreon.
And Patreon. We've got over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes. We are doing so much at the Hero Bell tier and at the After Party tier. We are about to release it's already out, the Michael Jackson.
Oh, did that come out?
I'm not sure when this comes out, but yes.
Yes.
We did the 3 episodes in one sitting for the Hero Bells. You are doing follow-up after parties for like Maternal Instinct.
The Crash. And what we're covering next week, which is A Toxic Love Story.
Yes. And I'm doing an after party all about Scott Peterson. I know you hate it when I say his name, but it's Scott Peterson, The New Evidence. I think Scott Peterson is guilty, but I think that there is interesting stuff in this. So I just kind of wanted to go through it and tell what they're saying the new information and the new evidence is. So that's what you're getting over in the Patreon. There's links in the show notes to all of this.
In Slack before, when we were just talking about scheduling, I was like, okay, so on this day, we're doing this, and that thing about the guy who's totally guilty.
Yeah. He's still guilty.
So when Jennifer isn't home at 5 o'clock, the husband calls BFF Eileen. Eileen asks her if she's heard from Jennifer. BFF Eileen says no.
Tom, we got to get a slow zoom in on Jillian's face when she said the name Eileen for the first time.
Eileen.
Eileen, girl, we're coming back to her.
I am coming for her.
So Detective Richard is checking the hospitals. He's checking the crash reports. There's nothing. By the next morning, she's still not home. The kids have questions. Where's mom?
Okay, I'm not a mom, so I'm not allowed to have an opinion
of
on this.
Of course you are.
But let me...
but look, it's just the two. Nobody else listens. It's
no
just
one,
us
no one else cares. Yeah. But Remy, the husband, is like...
Mom will probably be home by the time you guys come home from school. She's probably still out shopping and stuff.
Did you believe that?
That's what's my hope.
She's not home yet, but she probably will be by the time you get home from school. It's a choice. I don't know what other choices there are.
Well, especially when you're Remy in this situation.
Right? But like, she came home yesterday. I don't know where she is. She's not here, but she'll probably be back by the time you go.
It's funny. Kids are interesting. Glenn was the middle kid and he was 10. So there's probably like a 12-year-old.
Okay.
Daisy's 12. So I'm trying to think, like, Daisy's not going to go for that. Like, if Steve doesn't come home and he's been gone all night, you could probably, I could probably say something to her. Yeah. That she would believe or whatever.
This is the smallest of all the fish we're frying today.
100%. I could spend 10 hours on saying. It, but like, it's very true.
So Jason Wicks is this guy Remy's best friend.
Former.
Sorry, Jason.
It's all best friends until one's got to testify against the other.
And happily.
Gleefully.
So Jason is like, hey, why don't you use the Find My iPhone app?
I still don't know how to use
and
that.
And no one else suggested using it.
I know. You're going to hate this. I was riding a city bike up 8th Avenue. Okay. And on 8th Avenue and 42nd Street, somebody was going the wrong way and slammed into me. And I didn't realize my phone had fallen out of my pocket till I got home. And I didn't know what to do. And a guy that works at my building was like, use the Find My Phone app. Do you have it on? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, you're married to Steve. You have it on.
Yeah, yeah.
He like figured it out for me. We found my phone in 5 seconds. It was unbelievable. It's unbelievable what you can do with the technology these days.
Did you know that Find My iPhone has been around since 2010?
Is that right?
So in 2012, Jason's like, bro, get with the times, you fucking herb.
I know. Well, but he finds the location of the phone. And he like tells the cops. The cops go to the location. They don't see anything. Remy goes himself. Without the cops.
I'm hitting the play sound. And it's a high, shrieking, loud sound. And I walked the bank, and I didn't hear anything yet. And then I crossed the street, and I started hearing it, and I looked. And then I saw it. I immediately called 911.
I found my wife's iPhone.
He calls the police right away, and I'm like, it seems so much more difficult. Why didn't you just go with the cops?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
So the cops are treating this like a missing persons case.
The cops are like, well, everyone calm down. She is an adult.
I know, totally.
She's totally allowed to throw her phone into the river and disappear herself. Stop being hysterical.
The only thing I'm going to say here is 99.9% of the time that doesn't happen. In this case, you spend 2 minutes with Remy, you're like, I'd throw my phone out the window, abandon my kids,
He's
and get the fuck out of Dodge,
He's
too.
The worst person ever.
You know, like, it's a possibility with this guy.
The cops are basically just waiting for a hospital to call them.
100%.
To call that. Like, they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So 5 days later, Jennifer's poor father, this 911 call breaks my heart. He is forced to investigate this himself. So he's driving around looking for Jennifer, and he finds Jennifer's van, and he's like trembling. It's so hard to hear.
It's horrifying. It's in an apartment complex 8 miles from her house. And then inside the van, they find spots of blood.
Right. So now it's official. Something horrible has happened to Jennifer.
Yeah. And now we get like the family background. They live in a small upstate town, about 1,000 people. Great place to raise a family. Remy and Jen met in college 13 years ago. They were college sweethearts. Jen and Eileen.
Eileen,
they're mom friends, but they're like best friends. They met through Girl Scouts that their daughters are in. And they have this really cute thing where they text each other good morning every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cute.
Yeah. She was always there for me. Always, no matter what I needed, says Eileen.
Uh-huh.
All right. As Kim Richards famously said, let's talk about the husband.
Remy is a real force.
Yes. We knew when he walked in the room. At some points, you're like, oh, here comes Remy. You know? Yeah. He's loud.
Everyone is laughing at how loud and annoying he is. Everyone's like, everyone can always tell when Remy's here. Remy's always the center of fucking attention.
But even the husband is like, people were always coming up to my awesome wife being like, Jesus Christ, how do you live with this guy?
And he thinks it's a joke.
What
and
a
it's like,
herb.
No, really, Jen, how do you live
everyone
with him?
Everyone has to like brace themselves when he's around, which I find so off-putting. Like, this is a guy.
He's so abrasive.
Who does not know how to read a room.
Yes.
Because to him, everyone needs to adjust to him because he's the best, coolest, smartest guy in the world.
100%.
And in every room he walks into.
Yep.
But apparently this opposites attracts thing works for them.
Jen loved being a stay-at-home mom. She was a Sunday school teacher and a knitting instructor. A knitting instructor. Yeah.
Her friend Teresa is so great. Teresa's the anti-Eileen.
Yeah.
She's great because she's like, yeah, she loved to cook. And Andrea Canning's like, little Martha Stewart. She's like, very Martha Stewart. Andrea and Teresa got drinks after this because, God, they've been through a lot.
It's been a lot. I just love the idea of a knitting instructor.
Yeah.
Not a knitting teacher even, a knitting instructor. You fucking hope
I think
that.
You need that. I've tried to do it and I can't, my brain is not getting there and it was incredibly frustrating for me.
Daisy's grandma taught her how to crochet and she loves
it. I feel like if I was in front of someone, it would be easier for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Knitting is one of those things. Oh, I picked up a, remember how you were telling me I need to get a hobby?
Well, not in an asshole way.
No. I've been thinking so much about like, I need a hobby. Yeah. I need a hobby.
I agreed with you when you said that. I didn't say, hey,
remember
idiot,
when you
get a hobby?
Spit on me and said, hey, idiot, get a hobby.
Yeah, with my fucking foot on your neck.
I'm going to start making friendship bracelets just for fun.
I do that.
I know. I mean, I totally got it from you.
It's so fun.
I've like started ordering the supplies. I'm just going to start making them. And I was thinking maybe I'll sell them for charity.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. I put them to dry because I have them dry. I mean, I made all of these.
Yeah.
But to dry, a little like hack, I put them on the doorknobs around the apartment.
Yes.
So that they can hang. So where I glue them for the gods, goddesses. And then I put the glue part not on the doorknob. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
of course.
That it's hanging.
Yeah. So it doesn't stick to the door.
Right. And then I cut the string at the very, very end. But like Michael just be like, oh, she's doing one of the She's doing some bracelets this week. And they'll just be like on the doorknobs in our apartment.
It's so fun. I love it so much.
It's so fun.
So Remy's climbing the corporate ladder. He worked at Charles Schwab, IBM. He's a marathon runner. He tells ACANS.
26 marathons and I was sponsored.
In 1 year?
Yeah.
26 marathons.
Yes, ma'am.
That is absolutely bullshit.
Well, he wants you to think that he did 26 full marathons.
Yes.
Which is a stupid thing and not the flex he thinks it is.
Did you look it up?
But his son blows the roof off this whole thing and it's like, oh yeah, he would do like a 5K and then like a 10K.
Oh.
So like, and look, I'm not running a 5K even, right? Like I'm not running 26 anythings in my whole life, let alone a year.
Yeah.
Whatever. But like, be honest about it and don't say it in an obtuse way on purpose and then not correct Andrea Canning.
Right, because I'm thinking this guy's running 26 marathons. The human body can't do that.
He's not doing that.
No,
he's doing like a race here and there and like sometimes you have to do that to qualify, but no, right. his son totally outed him. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn. So now we got to talk about Jen's hobby.
Yes. So Jennifer plays Kingdoms of Camelot online. Look, I would much rather play this game than go running any day of the week.
No, she is like really into this. So the players from all over the world take on medieval roles and team up to wage battles together. She's building castles and kingdoms. And I'm like,
she's a lady among lords.
She's a lady among lords. She needs an escape from this fucking guy.
Of course.
You know?
And I'm not running.
No.
I'm playing my Kings of Camelot or whatever it is.
The problem is,
she was definitely sucked into it.
She was checking out a little bit.
Very much so.
It started turning into addiction. And she was on it quite a lot. Close to 8 hours a day, maybe more.
It becomes an addiction really fast. She's playing 8 hours a day. She's not cooking. Eileen came over one night and had to do the laundry because like the laundry had all piled up because she's like, she's addicted to this game. We're going to learn there's a little bit more to that in a minute. But like she's really in this game.
She's kind of checked out from being a mom and being part of the family. Like it's the game constantly.
All day, every day. Girl, Fabletics is back. Look, the thing about Fabletics, it's for the one-stop shopper. If you need gym clothes, if you want lounge clothes, if you want like clothes you can wear like to the cafe or lunch or even dinner or cocktails, Fabletics has got you covered, girl.
Yeah, they have made it so easy to get everything in one place because there's nothing I hate more than shopping around anywhere, whether it's online or not. So I love that Fabletics makes this so easy.
I keep coming back to Fabletics, like you said, because they have everything and I know that it fits. It stretches in the perfect way. It looks cool. Like I used to wear like boring gym clothes to the gym. And now I'm like, I feel good. I feel like I look good. I'm going to wear like fun, sassy clothes. And then I love too that I can like have the stuff that I can just like lounge around the house and then like go get lunch.
Yeah. And they have sets. So you don't have to think about what you're wearing.
Yeah.
You just like throw on the cute, adorable set. Or they have separate pieces. I just love them because it also like, even if it's quote like loungewear, it still feels durable.
Yes.
And not like you're being a lazy scrub.
No. And you can wear it on a plane and look cool. Plus we're talking 70 to 80% off your first order as a new VIP fam. You unlock incredible savings the moment you sign up.
And new styles drop monthly. Refresh your wardrobe with new arrivals throughout the year.
So fam, shop now at Fabletics.com/TCO to get 70 to 80% off everything when you sign up as a new VIP.
Take a quick style quiz and be sure to select TCO when prompted to unlock this offer.
Popular styles and staples go fast, so don't wait, fam.
Again, that's Fabletics.com/TCO for 70 to 80% off everything as a new VIP.
You are a VIP.
I was took the words out of my mouth.
But the thing is, we learned that she's like fallen in love with a gamer named Rob who lives in London. So she's gaming, but she's also like in a relationship with this guy from the game who she's never met in real life. And like Eileen is like, she was all in, like to the point that like one day Eileen and Jen go to the mall so that Jen can smell this guy's cologne.
That's down bad, man.
That is down. That's some shit I would have like done in high school.
At the gym. Yes, that is really, that is so, but I know when you're in that crush of like, I just want to smell that.
Yes.
I just want to be near them. Like that's, I mean, I didn't hear it in love. I just thought it was very flirtatious and a wonderful escape from this douchebag she's married to.
And it's reciprocal because apparently according to Eileen, this guy, Rob, is considering
uprooting his life.
Thank you so much. What happened to me?
I don't know.
Uprooting his life and relocating to upstate New York to be near Jen.
Right. That doesn't happen.
No.
You know, but like, you know,
but she's sending, early days. It could, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she's sending selfies. She'd get dolled up and sending photos or whatever. And so BFF Eileen, like now Jennifer is missing.
Right.
So Eileen is now concerned.
Rob knew where she lived and was thinking about relocating, coming up here.
And he's in England.
Yeah. I said, what if he does come up here? And she kind of giggled.
Now he's talking about relocating or whatever. So Eileen goes to the cops and he's like, and she's like, hey, I need to tell you about this guy online, Rob. What if he's a total creep and he did something bad to Jennifer?
Well, Rob gets a call from Interpol.
The cops DM him through the game.
They do.
They're like, hey, we're the cops. Can we talk to you about Jennifer? Like DMing
can
this board of Camelot.
I want to know that they have to do it in like Camelot speak.
What is
like,
Camelot?
Hello, hello, my lord. Yeah. We doth request your... we doth request the gratitude of your presence.
Right. But like he was worried about Jennifer too. He was like, she bailed on the game. She never does that. Like, I'm so glad you're here. Like, of course I'll talk to you because I'm worried too.
And the relationship seems to be real. Like, Rob seems to be, like, as into it as Jennifer was.
So while the cops are investigating online Rob, BFF Eileen tells Remy the husband about online Rob, and Remy the husband is furious, and now he's crying on the news.
Sobbing on the news. But then also to a different news station says, and I quote, there's no doubt in my mind that we're never going to see her again. He says this on the news.
What in the Scott Peterson,
who I still think is guilty.
Where is he? At a vigil calling his girlfriend.
I know.
Where is he telling his girlfriend 3 weeks before he killed Lacey that, my first Christmas without my wife, I can't get into it.
Fam, what's going on here is that I'm just going to give the information in an after party about like what the quote new evidence is in the Scott Peterson case. So GP is feeling especially like we got to double down on how guilty Scott Peterson is.
I'm super salty.
I know. Which is fine.
Yeah.
Like, what are you, like dyeing your hair orange and growing a mustache and getting your brother's ID and $15,000 in cash and being 5 miles from the Mexico border?
Is it the chlorine from the pool that dyed the hair, or did you dye it for the press?
Well, he says it right. He says he dyed it to dodge the Paps.
Okay, but also then Janie's like, it was the chlorine in a pool.
I know. We can't talk about Janie.
Okay.
If we're going to do Janie, we got to derail this whole episode.
So now, however, because we have a bombshell to get to, Remy the husband is like so betrayed. I can't believe Jennifer would do that. Guess what?
Mad as he was about Jen's online romance, Remy had been cheating on her. And with the last person on earth she would ever expect.
In my heart and in my stomach, I knew it was wrong.
This is your wife's best friend.
Oh, yes.
The Girl Scout troop leader.
Oh, yes. Very bad thing.
He's been having an affair with Eileen for a year.
With best friend Eileen, who's doing the laundry.
And the husband is laughing in Akan's face about this.
I know.
He's like, oh yeah, very bad. He thinks this makes him a stud.
I know.
I hate him.
Like, we get the backstory in the affair. He's running some marathon in Arizona, and his challenge was that he wasn't going to have any water, and he's listening to some Christian rock band called The Skillet.
They sound exactly like what you think they sound like.
Did you listen? You looked them up?
I don't. Do it.
Oh,
I was like, I can't. But this, it was so on brand. Uh-huh. I was like, he's not lying about that at all.
He has this like epiphany in the middle of this no water marathon.
He's hallucinating. He's running an actual marathon in Arizona in the desert and try again, not the flex you fucking think it is.
No.
Herb with a capital Herb.
Yeah.
Like, what a loser. Like, I ran a marathon. No, the best runners in the world would be like,
that's crazy.
That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's like those stupid men that go on airplanes. What do they call it? They call it where they don't bring anything. They don't like have an iPad. They don't watch anything. They
oh,
just
like
sit
base
there.
Jumping or something.
It's
raw dogging.
Free balling, raw dogging. Yeah. Which sounds disgusting.
Well, it came from a different meaning. Yeah. Anyway, also, Remy, are you on a water strike right now? Because your mouth sounds are going to make me throw myself
I know.
Out of fucking sleep.
Have you ever run a marathon with no water?
Annoying mouth sounds?
Let us know at Dateline. But like, they kiss. It moves really fast. All of a sudden, they're sleeping in Jen's bed.
Did you see Andrea Canning's face? She was like...
She's got no filter for this one. I love her
so
much.
Look at her.
Andrea, I love it.
That's like all of our faces.
So Remy and Jen, according to Remy, had like talked about getting a divorce a few times. This is where we learned too that Eileen is also married with kids, but now she's falling in love with Remy.
And they were faking training together. Like Remy would be like, oh, we're training for a marathon together. And Jennifer would be like, cool. Like, first of all, you're out of the house. Thank God.
Yeah.
But wow, how nice. My husband and my best friend are friends. And then they show all these photos of the two of them like laying in mud together. How dare you both.
And Andrea even says to her, like, what on earth were you attracted to about this guy? She says,
his personality was huge. I mean, always lifted you up. Always. Made you feel important. I felt invincible.
Eileen says Remy's confidence was intoxicating. So was his good job and generosity.
And his generosity. He's buying her shit.
And she liked the attention.
Of course.
Insecurity is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
So also, and like, he's your best friend's husband and they have three children together. What?
And you have kids.
What are you thinking?
I know. But he's buying her clothing. He's buying her like fancy running clothing with rules. She's not allowed to wear the clothing in front of her husband and she abides by the rules.
They thought that was this hot, sexy, like forbidden love thing. You're both losers.
She's all in. She separates from her husband, moves out, then a few weeks later, moves back in, like just weeks before Jen goes missing, and now she's trying to break it off with Remy. I think this timeline is very important.
It is. It is, because she says she tries to break it off. Remy wouldn't let her because he, quote, wants what he wants.
Right.
And they ended up having sex the day before Jennifer went missing.
They have sex, but it's like breakup sex because she wants to end it. And he, so they have sex, she's trying to end it, he gets really upset, Jen mysteriously goes missing the next day.
Yeah. Is Eileen, what do you think? Is she distancing herself from this guy? Were they in it? I mean, I absolutely believe he's the type of guy to be like, here are my rules. I won't let you go. I'm an obsessive weirdo.
Yeah. I don't think she knew about the plot to get rid of Jen.
No, but do you think like they just hooked up the day before and she kind of wants to make it seem like...
Eileen is going to say eventually here, she's a very weak person. These are her words.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that...
I appreciate the honesty.
Me too. Like, I think she's in a situation with a guy who is scary and familiar. And, you know, who knows what, like, she just moved back into her house. Who knows how that marriage is going?
Sure. There's a lot of bad decisions and a lot of bad situations.
And maybe it was like, well, I'll give it to him one more time and break up with him on the way out the door. Like, that's what I feel like happened. I feel like they had sex.
Yeah.
He got what he wanted. At the end of it, she's like, it's over. Then Jen goes missing.
What a dick. So Eileen finally tells the cops about the affair. And they're like, I'm sorry, what?
Well, Eileen and Remy go to the cops together. This is where I start to think maybe Eileen was in on this. Because how honest does it look to be the cheating couple to go to the cops together and be like, we did this really bad thing?
And the thing is, Jennifer's husband, Remy, lied to the cops and said their marriage was perfect.
Yes.
And now they learn he's been sleeping with the best friend for a year and he's a controlling weirdo.
Yeah. And so he goes over his day with the cops. The cops say as much to rule him out as to rule him in. So like he said, he got home a little after 8 after dropping the kids off, goes into the living room to do some work.
Remy said Jen left to go shopping around 10:30, and after that, he went for a run, ending up at the local YMCA. He told police his exact route through town.
And ends up at the YMCA. By the way, Rob in London is cleared.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
He's also gaslighting Andrea Canning because she's like, don't you see how the affair is not only a horrible bombshell in general, but now in this investigation, especially when you had sex with this person the day before your wife, and he's just like laughing at her and lying to her. He's like, I never said our marriage was perfect, or I never did this. I never had an affair. And Andrea is like, she's dumbfounded.
It is one of those things where I can see from his perspective how it should make so much sense. Like, why would I kill my wife? Like, why would I do that? Like, I'm not a murderous guy. I was having an affair. People have affairs. I'm like, in his mind, it all makes so much sense to him.
Well,
you know?
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic. And meanwhile, Remy, the husband, is convinced that Jennifer was going to leave him for someone else. And I'm like, yeah, the accusation is always a confession, right? We've been through this.
Right. And it's kind of true, too, though. Like, Jennifer was, like, talking to other men online. Like, this was a bad marriage.
And also, like, yeah, she was flirting with someone online, and she should have left him.
100%.
So his fears were based in reality, because he's a nightmare.
Yes.
And Jennifer was pulling away.
Yeah.
And trying to get affection and, like, niceties from anywhere else.
Well, not to give too much away, but I think that's exactly what happened here. I think Remy was being left by everybody, and the narcissist cannot be left.
Never.
Girl, Ritual is back.
Here's the thing about Ritual. You can finally get peace of mind knowing that you get those key nutrient goals with this multivitamin because you're not, you can try your hardest. You're missing some stuff. I hate to break it to you.
No, this is the whole thing where it fills in the gap. So Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multi contains 9 key nutrients in 2 delay-release capsules designed for optimal absorption per day. It just means you take this thing every day and you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter when you take it because it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. You can take it with food. You can take it without food. Just letting you know, there is a minty essence that helps you take it. And it, now you feel like it's also half a breath mint. I don't know how they do it.
Also, it increases vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks, fam.
Yeah. And it's been third-party tested for heavy metals and Clean Label Project certified. This means you know exactly what you're putting in your body and you can trust it.
We love it. So fam, instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health.
Save 25% on your first month at ritual.com/TCO.
That's ritual.com/TCO for 25% off your first month.
There you go.
Girl, Built is back. Here's a question. Are you getting rewarded for paying your rent or your mortgage right now? Like you do like with airlines and all that stuff? Probably not.
Yeah, if the answer is no, which it probably is, you need to check out Built.
Yeah.
And becoming a Built member means earning points on every housing payment, no matter where you live.
And get this, they've got this amazing unexpected benefit. Built gives every member access to its angelic neighborhood concierge in the Built app.
Yeah, it doesn't just give you information about your neighborhood, it executes it.
It's connected to your home and over 50,000 merchant partners. So you can ask it to pay. This is like where you use your Built points.
Yeah.
You can ask it to pay your rent, make dinner reservations, book a fitness class, schedule a Lyft, and more. I know you've done this, girl.
I use the Lyft all the time. Guess what? I'm going to use it on my way home.
Yeah, and it's so easy. First, you download the Built app. Second, link any credit or debit card to the app so purchases at your local shops become even more rewarding.
And then just ask the neighborhood concierge in the app pretty much anything.
Yeah. So fam, download the Built app and join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/TCO.
That's joinbuilt.com/TCO.
And use our link so they know we sent you.
Get those points, baby.
Get them. It's about time.
Right? So it's February 2013. Jennifer has been missing for 2.5 months. Now, her dad found her van.
Yes.
But now Jennifer's body has been found and she is naked.
Yeah, she's found on an embankment 20 miles from the house because the snow started to melt. And the day the body is found, Remy called the local news to the house to give another tearful interview.
As we know, this never goes well.
Yes.
His wife has just been found after 2.5 months in a horrifying way.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know who needs to come over here? The media.
Because now the town is turning on both Remy and Eileen. Because, of course, like, word's gotten out about their, like, poorly kept secret over the last year.
Yeah, and now they're both suspicious, they should be.
Who else could it possibly be?
And now, oh my God, I hate them both so much. Now, Eileen is like,
I felt awful. So it pushed me towards him.
Did you start to talk about being together permanently?
Mm-hmm. I would go over, make sure everyone was okay if they needed anything, you know? Didn't plan on moving in.
Did he want you to?
He did.
This just drew us closer together.
I know.
Because everybody hates us and now they only have each other. And then the husband wanted Eileen to move in. And I'm like, you selfish prick. Can you think about your three kids for 2 seconds. They just lost their mother.
And it's like, that's the kind of behavior we need to be looking at. Not necessarily how they react in the moment to finding out that their spouse is dead, but how they are taking care of the kids who are going to be traumatized for life by this.
Glenn, the son, goes, yeah, Eileen was over the house all the time. She didn't officially move in, but she was there all the time. And I'm like, you selfish assholes.
I know.
And also, now Remy, the husband, is talking shit about Jennifer online and in the media.
As though, like, being like, she wasn't even a good wife anymore. She didn't cook and clean for me anymore. As though that's going to make him look less guilty.
And he's blaming her for the cheating.
Right.
That's what they're doing, because they're talking about the online game. She hadn't been a mother in 6 months. She wasn't the mother, wife, cook, or housekeeper that she used to be.
Oh.
Basically saying, like, she drove me into Eileen's arms.
Exactly.
And also, like, yeah. I mean, total victim blaming. And Andrea Canning goes, woof, seems like a total oversharer. Friend Teresa, who we actually love, is like, oh my God, yes, they're finishing each other's sandwiches.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So the cops are now trying to corroborate Remy's story of his last day. He told the cops that Jen left the house at about 10:30 in the morning, but the cops get the fucking Wi-Fi information and they see that the phone last connected to the Wi-Fi at the house at 10:57.
Does this guy think it's 1972? It's 2012. There's still digital stuff going on.
How do you not have an actual plan? If you're going to do something this so stupid, how do you not have a plan for all of this?
Because he snapped.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
100%. So the cops, remember his story was that he dropped the kids off, she leaves the house, he goes for a run, ends up at the YMCA.
Well, we were starting to collect different surveillance videos from various convenience stores, banks, anywhere along the route that Mr. Ramsaram claimed he ran from their residence to the YMCA.
Turns out, Remy wasn't on any of them.
He's not on any of the video.
He's not on a single camera.
It's just another thing that he didn't think about. Like, of course they're going to pull the surveillance tape.
He wasn't on camera in a single location, he said, except he was, however, at the YMCA at 12:42 p.m.
Stretching.
He still lied.
Yes.
All he does is lie. And, like, where was he for all that time?
Right.
But there's more against the husband, because there's now a blood stain on his sweatshirt,
yes,
which is the same sweatshirt he was wearing the day his wife disappeared.
Yeah, so Remy becomes the prime suspect.
Obviously.
Eileen's alibi for that morning checks out. That she was at work that day, and then Remy called her and asked her to come get him at the Y.
He's a child.
I know.
Can you pick me up?
I know!
Mommy, can you pick me up?
I know!
So we get the autopsy report, and Jennifer's death is ruled as a homicide.
Yeah.
And the two possibilities are either strangulation or suffocation.
The autopsy ruled out natural cause of death, toxicological, suicide, and accidental.
Right.
So, like, she was killed.
Yes.
And in a way that was either, like you said, suffocation or strangulation.
Right. So now it's May 17th, 2013. Jennifer went missing 6 months ago.
I love this. The cops are like, hey, we got the autopsy report back. We'd love to go over, like, we just love to share our findings with you to get him down to the station on his own.
Andrew's like, Remy talks to the cops, and it ain't friendly.
No.
It was not friendly. Also, he's screaming and cursing. And I'm like, oh, weird how the smartest guy in every room he's in didn't think to call a lawyer.
I know.
You moron.
And he's saying, like, because they're like, you did it. Your alibi doesn't check out. It's total bullshit. He's swearing at the cops. He's like, I'm out of here. And they're like,
I don't know why you think you're on camera running past these places. You're not. I don't know why you cannot get that in your head, Remy. That the camera doesn't lie. The person does. And you're the one lying about it.
I like to leave.
No, you're not leaving. I've already told you that. Sit down. You're not leaving. You're under arrest.
No, you're not, bitch. You're under arrest.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know why you can't get it through your head, is what they actually say to him.
Right.
You lied. We have proof. Here is our proof. You can't argue it. You can't deny it. Like, what are you missing here?
Right. And, like, and there's no other suspect. Like, Rob from London was the only other guy. He's been ruled out. Eileen's been ruled out. Like, it's just the Occam's razor. Like, yeah. You did it.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
It's Occam's.
Did I say Alcum?
Alcum.
What was the other thing I used? Oh, mayhem.
Mayhem.
I say mayhem.
Moves over mayhammy.
Moves over my... Wait, it's all... How do you say it?
Occam. It's O-C-C-A-M apostrophe S.
There's not an L in that word?
No.
I'm going to forget this as soon as...
It's okay.
Say it again.
Occam. Occam's razor.
Is that a person?
Yeah. It's like a theory.
Was it like a real razor?
I don't know the origins of it.
Okay.
I do know how it's spelled, which I think is Alcum.
It's Alcum's razor. It's Malcolm's razor.
It's like Malcolm's scissor.
Malcolm's scissor.
Yeah.
Okay. Occam's razor. Occam?
Occam. I say everything weird, so I'm probably not even saying it right myself.
He's the guy. Like, he's the guy. And now he's in prison, and he's being that son of a bitch who is constantly calling Eileen.
Fantasizing about what she's wearing, begging her to move in.
And, like, she just doesn't know what to do, so she's like, yes, okay, sure, I'll move in. Like, she doesn't know what to say.
She's saying she misses him, and I'm like, hey, idiots, those calls are recorded. Not only are they recorded, they're also optional.
Yes.
Which it seems like they're forced to be on the phone over and over and over again.
And Eileen says,
his dad called me and said they found blood on his sweatshirt. And I thought, okay. But I'm thinking to their house and how messy the house was. And, you know, I'm thinking, maybe it's old blood. Just little things were starting to play in my head. And it scared me.
Eileen, this is so morbid to say, but like, this is your out.
Yeah.
He sucks. This is an undeniable thing to be like, I don't think we should see each other anymore.
Yeah.
And yet she's on the phone and he's like, I miss you. And she's like, I miss you. Stop. And I'm like, can we
I'm sorry, I'm going to need a little bit more. Will you move into the house?
I don't know. I mean, what about our kids?
If you do move in, will you not play that dumb video game for your RJ and be a good wife
no,
and cook and
never,
clean?
Never. Whatever. They didn't have to have these phone calls is the point.
Oh,
and they're recorded.
God.
And I'm like,
I miss your voices. I miss your, like 1-800-BIG-BOOTS. We used to do that all the time.
I used to call that number all the time when I was a kid. That's
you
where
did?
It came from. That's how I know the number. On like the payphones, 1-800-BIG-BOOBS. And that's what she would sound like.
Yeah.
When she answered.
1-800-BIG-BOOBS.
Yeah. That's a real thing. Where are my 1-800-BIG-BOOBS people at?
The 900 lines were like a big business for like a minute, but they were big business.
Yeah, but like if we would do it just to like hear like a sexy woman's voice.
Well, like were your parents, like was Barbara being like, Till, what are you doing calling 1-800-BIG-TITS?
Payphones. So you would be able to hear like the menu. We were so like desperate
you
for any kind
so
of sexual
bi,
thing.
You were so bi, even at like at 12 years old.
And we would do it to just hear like the menu. And then of course on the payphone, we weren't going to pay the $8.99 a minute or whatever it was.
If little gay Patrick Hines from poor ass Cape Cod had known that you could get a free sex chat.
For two seconds.
But I'm telling you, I would have lived at the payphone.
It was really just the intro. And then
hey bro.
Yeah.
You looking for a good time?
Yeah. And then it would like hang up on you, obviously, because like they're no fools. They got to make that paper.
Was it like a real lady?
It was a recording.
Okay.
No, they're not going to get you that for free.
The recording would have been enough for 13-year-old Patrick Hines.
It's just fine.
Patrick at the payphone again? I would have been at the payphone.
It's just fine.
I know.
So, September 2014, this asshole, the husband, is on trial. He is facing life in prison for murdering his wife, Jennifer.
Yeah. We learn, by the way, over the course of this trial, how obsessively he was calling Eileen from prison.
He called you around 2,000 times.
Yeah,
from
I
jail?
Had no idea it was that much. No idea. I knew he called me a lot. And it was very tiring. If he didn't answer, he would keep calling until I did answer or I shut my phone off.
He called her 2,000 times.
Okay, I did the math.
Okay.
He was arrested on May 17th, 2013. They tell us the trial started in September of 2014. Let's call it September 1st.
Yeah.
Like the most conservative thing. That's 472 days. If he called her 2,000 times, that he's calling her an average of 4 times a day.
That actually sounds less crazy now. That sounds less crazy.
Why? 4 times a day?
I know. But A, how's he got the money on his commissary or whatever? And B, she says that, like, it was exhausting. That, like, if you didn't answer, he would just keep calling and calling and calling.
He's a nightmare.
I know.
He's a nightmare.
I know.
Also, the former friend Jason got on the stand and testified. And he's like, yeah, this asshole Remy was always running his mouth, talking shit about Jennifer, talking about divorcing Jennifer, and all the ways he's going to sneakily get full custody of the kids. He was a dick.
And that's the thing. This was, like, the divorce and the not divorce, I think, is the beginning of the fallout of what happened to Jennifer. Because Remy was planning to divorce her and get custody of the kids, but it was explained to him in no uncertain terms that Jennifer would get the kids and he couldn't have that.
Right.
And I think learning that is what set this whole plan into motion.
Right. And so all of these phone calls with Eileen are like, you're a gift from God. You were meant for me. I was meant for you. I'm like, don't you get Jules' words out of your goddamn mouth.
Do you get Jules' words out? You get Woodstock 99 star Jules' words mouth out of your mouth.
How very dare you?
Or is Taylor... As Nikki Glaser calls her, Trailer Swift.
But he's like, you know, I look at my ring finger every day.
I know.
Like, he's talking shit about Jennifer. It's just so crazy. But joke's on him because Eileen is the star witness for the prosecution.
She's the star witness. And, like, the major part of her testimony is about that day that she picked him up from the Y.
Mommy, can I have a ride?
Can you come and get me? Sure, baby. So the whole thing is that, remember, this is the day that Jennifer disappears. So we know that Remy and Eileen had had sex the day before.
Mm-hmm. What a breakup this is, Eileen, by the way, picking him up from the
gym. She says it herself. She is weak, weak, weak. So she picks him up, takes him home, and he just gets out of the car and says, like, thanks, I know you're busy, I'll talk to you later. She's like...
He got out, he said, I know you're busy, and never invited me in.
The defendant was always interested in sexual relations when he was alone with his girlfriend. That afternoon, the defendant didn't ask her to come into the house to be alone so they could be together.
He always wanted a piece. Like, there was never a time that they were together that he didn't want sex. So it really stood out to her that he didn't want to have sex that day. And the prosecutor and everyone is saying it's because he's got his dead wife inside there and he's got to figure out what to do with the body now. Girl, Bowie is a new sponsor. I'm excited about it. You're excited about it. Mike is excited about it. This is hydration focused on electrolytes where you can target things like energy, nutrition, your brain. We're all using it.
Yeah, let's get the science out of the way.
Okay.
It's clinically proven to hydrate 64% more than water alone and 49% more than a leading electrolyte. So let me tell you something.
Yes.
Mike is all about the electrolyte, all the pack. He's tried tried every one. His favorite thing about this is that it's flavorless on purpose. You can put it in anything.
Yeah, it comes in these cute little bottles of like, and they're all the different things you want to target. So I use the energy and I use the nutrition. You can put this stuff in anything. Mm-hmm. It's one drop. You put it in any liquid. I put it in my coffee every morning to get my little boost of electrolytes to focus on my nutrition and my energy. Do you think I need more energy, girl?
No, but like, thanks, Bowie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, they're unflavored liquid electrolytes with 87 trace minerals that you can add to any drink, even coffee, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, they've got 11,000 plus 5-star reviews and 900 plus dietitians who recommend Bowie to their patients.
Yeah, no sugar, no sweeteners, no flavors, no artificial ingredients.
Can I just tell you, this is the first podcast Bowie has ever advertised on. They picked us specifically because they knew that we were going to love it. And Bowie, spoiler, we do.
We love you. How cute.
I know. So fam, get in on this. If you want to make your favorite drink more hydrating, head to justaddbowie.com/TCO, use code TCO, and get 31% off the liquid electrolyte discovery set, which is the cutest thing ever. You're going to want to put it like right next to your coffee.
Yeah, and you can try it 30 days risk-free.
Yeah. And fam, if you or someone you know is living with chronic illness, Bowie helps offset your healthcare costs with their chronic illness lifetime support program. It takes 2 minutes to apply.
Come on now.
I mean, Bowie, we love you.
So good. So now we get more lies from Remy, the husband. He claims he was working at his computer all day. Wrong. A forensic expert says otherwise.
There was no work done on the two laptops that they seized. Like, this is all, like, this is 2012. Like, this isn't 1990. Like,
That's what I'm saying.
You should be able to know that they're going to look at your devices and know that you didn't do that.
I bet when his ex-friend Jason told him about the Find My iPhone, he was like, the what?
I know.
I mean, really?
I know. No, you're absolutely right.
I bet he was shocked.
Because the cops didn't find the phone, but then he goes and magically finds
it. Well, let's talk about that. So the prosecution's theory is that morning, Remy, the husband, killed Jennifer in their bedroom.
Yeah.
At around 11:30 a.m., he left the house with Jennifer's body in the van and put her body where it was found. And then he gently placed the iPhone alone, yeah, like he alone, where he found it, because the iPhone was in pristine condition.
Yes.
There were no marks on it. Like, it was not thrown from a car.
No.
Or he just went, ooh, ooh.
Yep.
Like, make it dirty, idiot. Yeah. Stay stupid.
He's so stupid.
But like, then he goes and leaves the van at the apartment complex where it was found. And then he jogged over to the YMCA.
Which is why he wasn't seen going the way he would have gone if he was jogging from his house, like he said.
And asked Eileen for a ride because he didn't have a car anymore.
Right.
And the DA ties it all back to the online game.
Because here's the order of events, in my opinion. He wanted to divorce Jen and get the kids. He realized that wasn't going to happen. So now Jen's the problem. He's with Eileen. He wants to be with her. Eileen has left her husband but has gone back to him and doesn't want to be with Remy anymore. So Eileen has broken up with him. He can no longer get the kids in a divorce. And according to the DA, his theory is
Remy caught her playing the game in bed and snapped, killing her right there in the bedroom. Investigators even found a spot of blood on the mattress. And there was that blood stain on the sweatshirt Remy wore that day.
And he snaps. Everyone's leaving him. Eileen's leaving him. Jenna's leaving him. He can't have the kids. And he just totally fucking snaps and kills her in the bed.
And online Rob even says she just dropped out of the game without a word. And she doesn't do that. It was weird for the gamers to be like, she just disappeared, yeah, and hasn't been back in a day. That's why online Rob was worried about her.
Yes. And Rob gives his testimony via Skype from England. He like testifies via Skype from England.
That must be horrifying to, yeah, hear, like, this person that you were having this relationship with, or even like a like online friendship.
Yeah.
You know, because
like, who knows what his life is? Like, maybe he's married. You know what I mean?
You know what? You know?
Yeah.
So we need to talk about the blood, though.
Yes.
There's a blood stain on the mattress, and there's blood on the husband's sweatshirt, and the blood was a mix of Jennifer's blood and Remy, the husband's blood.
Yeah. Just put it. It's a major point for the prosecution in this trial. Just put a pin in that. We'll come back to it.
Let's talk about Gilberto Garcia, who's Remy, the husband's lawyer.
Just when you think you are not going to meet another clown in an episode, Gilberto Garcia is here. He's in the episode to talk about this.
Also optional.
Yes. Oh, it's so optional. Because at first, Remy loves this guy. Like, this guy's going to be his savior. Remy's parents are spending their life savings on this guy.
And this lawyer is like, I liked him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, of course. He was like, he was very happy to see me. I said, of course.
Of course he was.
He's going to be on his best behavior with you.
I mean, the one thing that Gilberto says, he challenges the state's timeline because he says, if the prosecution is saying that Remy left the house at 11:30 to go drop the van and then get to the YMCA, he says,
if he left at 11:30, I have the easiest case in the world because it is impossible, time-wise, to have done that trip in an hour and 12 minutes, drop a body, get out and place a phone, come back, and then walk to the YMCA. Just can't do it.
Remy couldn't have committed this crime because there's not enough time to drop the car, drop the phone, and then get to the YMCA in time to get on the surveillance camera at whatever time that was.
Mm-hmm. Any reasonable doubt anyone could have had goes out the window when this asshole gets on the stand.
Because Remy takes the stand in his own defense and testifies for 2 fucking days.
And he's a nightmare on cross, too.
Yes.
No shock to anybody. He's combative. He's refusing to answer. He's not following the rules of the court.
I don't know what you do, because the prosecutor is like, I wasn't letting this guy off the hook. He's like, I would ask him what time it was, and he would tell me how much he loved his wife.
Well, and he's just insufferable, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're so screaming at each other. And now Remy's defense lawyer is like, I set that trap and they walked right into it. I knew he was going to be insufferable. I let the prosecution yell at him for sympathy points. And I'm like,
I'd like to show the jury who this guy really is. And it's like, this guy really is an asshole.
He's a dick. And everyone here, friends, prosecutors, whatever, was like, yeah, that failed.
Right.
That didn't work out the way you thought it was, because now we just hate him even more.
And then like this guy, Garcia, the attorney, his closing is absolutely insane. Like, he's like, could he have done it? Maybe, probably. He could have, but I wonder if he did it. But if you wonder, that's reasonable doubt.
Okay.
Like, I want to ask if it's this guy's first day, but we're about to find out.
So now Remy, the husband, is sitting with Andrea Canning, and she's asking him about a motive. And
yeah.
He's like, Andrea, honey, baby, sweetie.
I know. He's sweet tits, Canning.
You got to understand.
I had the perfect life. I had a wife, had a girlfriend, had kids. I have everything anyone would want. The worst thing to have ever happened to me is Jen go missing. Absolutely worst thing.
I was living so large.
I was in middle management for IBM.
He's like, why would I ruin that? You know what ruined that? Jennifer going missing.
But the thing,
basically what he says to Andrea.
The thing is, if what he was saying to Andrea was true, that then it would be true. But what he said, I had a wife, I had a girlfriend, and kids I loved. What you had was a girlfriend who didn't want you anymore, mm-hmm. a wife who was about to leave you, and kids you were going to lose in the divorce. So the three things you're saying you had are true. You had the wife, you had the girlfriend, you had the kids, but you were about to lose them all, and that's why you killed her.
Right. And Andrea is like, to be clear, the affair made you too happy to kill your wife? Is
right.
that what you're trying to say? And the defense lawyer is like, finally someone gets it.
Yeah.
I knew I loved you, A-cans.
But that's just the thing. Like, you did have the wife, you did have the girlfriend, you did have the kids. You were losing all of them. And everybody knows the narcissist cannot be left.
I just really want to slow down that his version of a perfect life includes cheating on his wife.
Exactly.
Do we get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like that is an insane thing to say.
No, it is. And he's got a story for that, too.
He thinks it makes him a stud.
Right.
It's not cool.
I had the best of everything.
It's not cool to be lying to your wife and your kids.
Like, right.
This is not a cool thing. Nothing about you is cool.
He's the worst guy.
He's really bad.
The problem with Remy is that he's a really bad guy who can pretend not to be sometimes. You
truly
know what I mean?
Truly a legend in his own mind.
Truly a legend. Like, he believes his own story.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
He's not his own supply, as they say.
Sugar tits. You know why?
Sugar tits. Hey, sugar tits. Tanning, you're not listening.
There's a great line in The Wolf of Wall Street where they are trying to get a bunch of cash to Switzerland so they can, you know, like do the offshore bank accounts or whatever. Uh-huh. And they're taping cash so that it can go on the plane. And the woman's like, I don't work for you. And Jonah Hill goes, sweetheart, you got my money taped to your tits. Technically, you do work for me, right? And it is such a great line read. And that's like the vibe that this guy's trying to do. Also, everyone in The Wolf of Wall Street is a nightmare and sucks, and you should not emulate them in any way.
You got my money taped to your tits.
Sweetheart, you got my money taped to your tits, okay? Technically, you do work for me.
So the case goes to the jury.
After just 3 hours, a verdict.
With respect to count one of the indictment, charging the crime of murder in the second degree, how do you find the defendant? Guilty or not guilty?
Defendant guilty.
They come back in 3 hours, guilty, 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 25 years to life.
Why do we have 25 minutes left then, I wonder?
I know.
So Remy, the husband, is in prison, and now he's going to start claiming ineffective assistance of counsel, and he's appealing the verdict. And
yeah.
This is what Andrea's like, hey, everyone, another twist. All of the interview footage of this loudmouth blowhard that you've seen is from the 2014 episode of Dateline.
Yes.
Now, the rest of the episode is going to be the new interview with Andrea and this guy in prison.
Andrea looks like a million bucks, hasn't aged a fucking
she
day. She looks incredible.
He's wearing that orange getup.
So we meet the new attorneys. We meet Remy's new attorneys, Melissa and David, hired in 2018. And like, they are here to tell us what a piece of shit, fucking moron, idiot, the original attorney Garcia was.
But isn't that on Remy? We clocked it. We see 2 seconds of this guy in court and we notice that. Like,
yeah.
Isn't it on Remy to be like, whoa, I don't think this is good for me?
Well, because they're saying that they don't even know what kind of law he practiced. He didn't have a specialty. He mostly handled bankruptcies and divorce.
They learned that he had never tried a single murder case. In fact, he'd only tried one criminal case his entire career, but withdrew before it finished, telling the judge he wasn't competent enough to defend his client.
He said it himself.
He had to go to the judge and was like, this is not going to work.
So he was Googling things on the fly, like basic things. He was like, what does sustained mean?
And he leaves it in the file so that Melissa and David in 2018, all these years later, are like, he's literally printing out Google forms of like, what does guilty mean?
Yeah. What does sustain? Is sustain the one where they agree with me? Right. They don't. Sustain, what are, sustain yeah, yeah. versus over.
DNA. DNA stands for do not
do
ask.
Not ask.
Do
okay,
not
great.
Ask. Got it. No further questions, Your Honor.
Like, and this guy was paid $100,000 mostly for expert witnesses.
Yeah.
And he never had a single conversation with an expert, and he didn't call any to testify.
And he didn't prepare Remy for cross-examination. He not only didn't advise Remy not to take the stand, he didn't prepare him for when he did take the stand.
Like, obviously, this is ineffective assistance of counsel.
Well, David and Melissa petitioned the court to get the case overturned for ineffective assistance of counsel. And they're like, this is very unlikely. Like, this almost never happens. We knew we had a really good shot. The new prosecutor on the case, the guy who thinks that Remy did this, who wants Remy to be in prison, is like, he absolutely deserved a new trial.
Yeah, because he's like, we're still going to get him. He did this. But like, sure, we can play fair. We should play fair.
Totally. And he's like, he literally says, I've never seen or heard of this kind of ineffectiveness that had happened in this case. He's like, there have been lawyers that have fallen asleep in cases that did not get ruled ineffective.
Yeah. And this guy, so the husband gets a new trial and the original lawyer is censured.
Yes.
For misrepresenting his experience.
If this man is still a member of the bar, God help us all.
But Andrea Canning's here to jump in and go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because his lawyers suck doesn't mean he's not guilty, okay?
No, because Ben, the new prosecutor, he gets new information. He finds...
We love Ben.
He finds 3 voicemails that Jen left for Rob the morning she vanished. Rob from the online game. And these are really important because there are 3 of them and she's talking about her day.
What was on the voicemails to Rob?
Basic pleasantries. Hi, how are you doing? Talked about letting her dog out, but zero mention of... I'm leaving the house to go shopping today. Zero mention of that.
She's talking about getting dressed. She's talking about stuff with the kids. She's talking about cleaning the house. Nowhere in any of these 3 messages does she mention that she's going to be away from the game for the majority of the day because she's going to the mall.
Right.
She was never going to the mall.
Right. She let her laundry pile up. This is no shade. I'm just saying, like, she was detached. She wasn't spending time with her kids. She wasn't doing laundry. You think she's driving an hour away to go shopping?
No, she's absolutely not. But now we also learn that the judge isn't going to let Rob from London testify via Skype. He's got to come to the the States to do it. He says no. They're not going to extradite the guy. So they don't get his testimony. They don't get to get Rob tell the court how vital it is that she left the game and she never does that.
But you know what they do? Ben's like, that's totally cool. We're just going to use the Dateline episode from 2014.
Yeah.
Because he said insane shit about how he had the perfect life and he's a total like blowhard asshole loser. So yeah, we're using Dateline.
They use the Dateline. They have to throw out the blood stain on the sweatshirt. They can't use it because it actually turned out they can't tell how much of the blood is Remy's versus how much of it is Jen's, or genetic material versus blood. So that gets tossed aside.
And as we're ending, we end with like 10 minutes of this newest interview. So now, right now, what we're hearing, he's won the appeal. He's getting a new trial, but he's still in prison.
Yeah.
He is screaming. He's ranting and raving like a lunatic.
He really sounds crazy.
He does. Like, I don't regret a single thing I've said. I have the perfect life.
Great
career.
So
you haven't reflected on the fact that you had another woman and that—
What are you talking
about?
That
led to all of this?
It's not I had another woman. What a lot of people didn't understand, and I didn't want to say it when I interviewed with you originally, we had threesomes. It was my wife, Eileen, and myself. There is no issues. And it was going on for a while.
And they had threesomes together.
He's saying not only did she know that we were having threesomes together. Eileen's a lot of things. She's never done gay shit. Not one time.
No.
No.
Please.
I know.
Please. She was out calling 1-800-BIG-BOOBS.
She wasn't calling 1-800.
Just to hear, like, a sexy lady's voice.
I would have been at that payphone. Like, 1-800-JOCKSTRAP, 1-800, like, locker room. I would have lost my life to the payphone.
Yeah.
I would still be at the payphone.
It was really easy. It was really fun.
Oh, God. The things you city kids knew.
I feel sad that you didn't get to
me too.
That. It was so fun.
God damn it.
Well, Andrea gives him one last parting shot, which is great because he's like throwing a tantrum and she's like, wow, you're big mad. You clearly have a lot of pent up feelings. Yeah. What do you do all day in your cell? Do you just like pace and rant to yourself all day long?
And think about this all day long?
And he screams at her again and he was like, he basically is like, bitch, prison is easy.
Yes.
I have more freedom in prison. She is laughing, in his face. She's like, prison is hilarious. I'm so sick of the corporate grind.
Yes.
You know what? I said I had a perfect life in 2014. Now my perfect life is here.
It's even more, I never want to leave.
Andrea goes, what are you talking about?
I mean, you can't, like, the Andrea Canning reaction to this is unbelievable.
And I'm like, Andrea, you have to walk away.
I know.
Don't supply the narcissist. You got to walk away, girl. Have a cocktail with Teresa and
sometimes me. Sometimes it is, like, I don't give a sweet flying fuck. Sometimes it's great to see them, like, drop the facade and just, like, let them fucking
have it. The greatest part about Keith saying that is that he doesn't go to 100. He's very calm. He's saying, like, because the guy's accusing him of just trying to get the scoop.
Yeah.
And he says, he like kind of levels with him and you could tell he's not doing it for the cameras.
Yeah.
He's saying,
yeah,
I don't give a sweet flying fuck about that. I want justice for the family.
Yes.
So I love when they do that. But Andrea just laughing and being like, what are you talking about?
She's incredulous.
And as she should be, because I'm sitting there being like, I need this episode to be over. I can't stand a second on a screen with this guy.
Oh, I also have my note here too that Garcia, the attorney from the first trial, says he thought that Remy did it the entire time.
Great.
The entire time.
Yeah,
he's like,
could
this guy,
tell.
I know. 100%.
So after all of this, this piece of shit takes a plea deal. There is no second trial. And all Jennifer's parents wanted, they wanted him to say one thing. They just wanted him to say that he was guilty.
Yes.
That's all they wanted.
And he did. He acknowledges, like, for the sake of the plea deal, he acknowledges his guilt in her murder. He gets like 22 years or something.
It's a reduced charge because he pleads guilty to manslaughter.
Yes.
Which is not what they wanted, but at least he pled guilty to something and that's what they needed.
And they got him, and like they say that with time served, he'll probably be out in like 8 years, which is 6 years at this point.
So that was in 2023. So he was sentenced in 2014. So it's 22 years with time served.
Yeah.
So he'll probably be out in like 2036.
Oh God.
But Andrea Canning, it ends with Andrea Canning saying to Eileen, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Some people are going to remember you as being the worst kind of friend to Jen.
What does it feel like to be the worst kind of friend?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
What is that?
She looked her right in the eye.
And Eileen's like, well, what's done has been done, but I'm real sorry. And I'm like, Juliette Lewis again? I'm really sorry. I swear.
I know. You know who she's got Jodi Arias energy.
Really?
To me, she looks kind of like Jodi Arias, and she's got like crazy Jodi Arias energy.
Oh. Was Jodi
Arias was the one that was standing on her head singing?
No, yeah, I know that. Yeah. No, that, but was she Is she like over the top energetically when you see her? Because she's Eileen's pretty demure.
No, I think Jodi Arias is pretty calm. Too. Okay. She's like calm, like sex kitten calm.
Right, not Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
You know what? Say what you will about Nancy Grace. She has not taken her foot off of Casey Anthony's neck, and I'm here for that. Casey Anthony and Scott Peterson will never know a moment's peace.
No.
From Nancy Grace, and I'll take it.
Okay. Oh my God, girl. All right, we did Dateline, The Perfect Life.
Yep.
Oh my God.
A mess.
Fam, don't forget, we've got Patreon, over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes. We're also doing Jillian's doing all these great follow-ups. What are the ones you did?
Well, I did The Crash and Maternal Instinct.
Yeah.
So the next thing we're doing is A Toxic Love Story on Netflix. I will be doing an after party on that one as well. That's going to drop the same exact day.
Yes.
As A Toxic Love Story comes out. I've been getting so many DMs. They're like asking me for help.
I mean,
telling this story.
There's so many questions that we are left with.
So I'm going to do the after party is really going to be like a true timeline.
Yeah.
And like more things fleshed out that make things a little more sense. There are things that are just unknowable.
Yeah.
But people put out the bat signal. They need my help.
Oh my God.
I'll let you down.
I'm so excited.
So we're going to do A Toxic Love Story, scream our heads off, and then I'm going to try to make sense of some of it in the after party.
And then I'm doing an after party at some point after that in the nearish future, giving you all the details from the Scott Peterson, the new evidence documentary.
Please hear the air quotes around.
Listen, I think that Scott Peterson is guilty, but I found some of the information in this needlessly long documentary to be worth discussing.
Is Janie in it?
She's not. Okay. She's not in it.
No. Did she produce it?
Probably.
Is it that other A&E propaganda bullshit that we did?
It's A&E. It's another A&E documentary. I know.
Propaganda.
Anyway, stay tuned for the trailer for, what's it called, Toxic?
For A Toxic Love Story on Netflix.
Yeah. All right. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, stay safe out there. Fuck you, Remy.
Okay, bye.
You might remember this story with a twisted plot.
The strange and violent stalking case.
A jealous wife, romantic rivals, blackmail.
I wish everyone would just tell the truth. Ian always wanted to be married and he wanted to have kids. Angela wanted the same things.
The smile alone, I mean, the smile was killer. She was just a sweetheart. 2-3 weeks go by, I propose to her.
But then Ian tells me that Angela's been receiving these emails from someone called Lilith Is Truth.
Crazy, threatening, violent, I'm gonna kill you emails.
They have this biblical undertone. We were thinking the exact same thing. Holy shit. It's his ex, Michelle.
I'm really sorry.